Why did you come to church today? Why didn't you do like these other people and stay home to celebrate Christmas? Is it because you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And you believe that only through Him that you can have salvation from your sins and a hope of eternal home in heaven when this life is over? You know, as I thought about this lesson, this introduction, I couldn't decide whether I ought to do this introduction or not. Because I was afraid that it might be offensive to some people. People that believe that Jesus Christ was born today, on this day, this date. And I assume that there would be a lot of people around the world today attending church for the purpose of celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, just because there's churches that shut down in this area to celebrate Christmas rather than come to the assembly and worship God, I still think there's a lot around the world today that have gone to church today to worship the celebration of Jesus Christ's birth. Was Jesus really born on this day? You know, all evidence that I found says no. Jesus wasn't born on this day. I find that He couldn't have been born no later than September. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, and I don't have these up on the PowerPoint, so we'll get to that in a minute. In Luke chapter 8, in Luke's account of the birth of Christ, the Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." You see, it was a custom for the Jews to send their flocks out around the time of the Passover in early spring. And these shepherds would stay out in the field, or they'd send them out actually to the desert, and they'd stay out in that desert all through the summer. And they'd stay out in the field until the first beginning of rain. And from what I found in my research was that the first beginning of the rain, the first commencement of rain, was in around mid-October. And so these shepherds would take their flocks back in late September, before the rain started to come. So if we believe that to be true, which I do, then Jesus could have been born only between Passover and late September. There's no way He could have been born on this date. Do we dishonor Christ when we honor Him by celebrating His birth on December the 25th? You know, when I researched this, I found that that's exactly what millions of people do on December the 25th. They dishonor the birth of Christ. They dishonor Christ, period. Now, don't get me wrong. The birth of Christ was very important. And it was a very blessed event. Because without the birth of Christ, we wouldn't have the opportunity for salvation through His death. If He'd have never been born, we couldn't have been saved from our sins and have hope of eternal life. Because Jesus had to die the death on the cross in order for us to have salvation. The problem is, we were never commanded by God to celebrate His birth or to remember His birth. Rather, we've been commanded not to. Why? Because it was started by men sometime during the second century after the birth of Christ. And by 529 AD, after Christianity had become the official state religion of the Roman Empire, the Roman Emperor Justinian made Christmas a civic holiday. What did Christ say in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9? He said, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." Again, in Mark chapter 7 and verse 9, Christ said, "Full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition." And so every year throughout the world, on December 25th, hundreds of millions of people do just that. They keep the traditions of men. So how do we honor Christ today? The same way that we do every Lord's Day. We remember His death. We gather around this table. And we partake of these emblems. We eat the bread, which is His body. We drink the cup, the fruit of the vine, which is His blood. Jesus taught us that. He taught His disciples that. If you're His disciple, He taught you that. And what did He say? He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." That was a commandment, wasn't it? He commanded us to remember His death, not His birth. The Apostle Paul made this statement in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. He said, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until He comes." Today, there are many, many people around the world that are celebrating His birth rather than His death. And how do I know? Because they don't do this. They don't partake of the Lord's Supper and remember His death. So why do you believe in Jesus? There's a number of reasons that we can think of as to why we believe in Jesus and why we should believe in Jesus. These are just some that came to my mind. First of all, your parents brought you up believing that. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." You know, children will believe whatever their parents tell them when they're growing up. You can teach your children that Mother Goose was a holy figure. And you could teach them the Mother Goose rhymes, the nursery rhymes, and bring them up believing that Mother Goose was a god. You could teach your children that this man is real and that he's omnipotent and that he sees all and he knows all. Is that the truth? Do we really believe that that's the truth? You know what happens when we say that this person is real to our children? If we teach them that? If we tell them that he sees all and he knows when you're sleeping or when you're awake, we make him a god. We make him equal with God. We can teach children that anything is a god. But what should we be teaching them? We should be teaching them about Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. Is that what we're teaching our kids? You know, my parents took me to church from the time I was born. This seemed like, you know, I don't remember that. It seemed like I don't remember anything up till the time I was 4 or 5 years old. But I know my parents. I know that they took me to church as soon as I was able to be out with crowds. Back then, I mean, it might have been the next day after I got out of the hospital. Who knows? They're a little slower about doing it these days, about putting them out in crowds. But my parents taught me about Jesus Christ. I don't remember them ever teaching me about this person. And I'm not naming any names today out loud, because I don't know what you've taught your children. That's not my place to teach your children about him. Today it's my place to teach them about him. It's your place to teach them about this person not being real. And that he's not a god. That the only ones that are omnipotent, that know all and see all, everything that you do, is God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul told the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Fathers, that's your job, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And mothers, I think that's your job too. When you're with your children, your job is to teach your children about Christ. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's what my parents did for me. They took me to church. At first, I didn't like going to church. I'd rather be out playing. I didn't pay attention. I didn't know who Jesus was. But you know, my parents didn't quit taking me to church just because I wouldn't pay attention, and I might have caused, you know, a little ruckus every once in a while in, over in my pew. I remember one time, I mean, my mother and dad, they really paid attention to the preacher. Because one time I was sitting there by my mother and I had a marble in my hand. And those old pews at our church in Pampa were wood. And I was flipping that marble down to the end of the pew and bouncing it off the end, and it bounced back to me. And I wasn't disturbing them because they were paying attention, but I was disturbing probably other people. But you know, that didn't deter my parents from taking me to church. They continued to take me to church, and today I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I believe that He died on the cross for my sins so that I might have hope of eternal life. You know, I see people today that grown-ups that don't have any clue about Jesus because they were never taught. And did you know when parents don't teach their children about Jesus that it can go from generation to generation? It just keeps going. And then you have a bunch of non-believers. Does that look kind of like our country today? I think it does. I think our country is headed in that direction. And if we don't teach them about Jesus Christ, they're going to believe something else. And they'll believe whoever teaches it to them. I have it in my mind that there's more kids today that believe in this person than believe in Jesus Christ. Number two. Do you believe in Jesus Christ because you need a Messiah to believe in? You know, the people back in the day when Jesus was walking on the earth, they were looking for a Messiah. It had been prophesied that a Messiah would have been born, would be born, and that He would save their nation. You remember the story of the woman at the well, where Jesus came to the well there in Samaria and to get a drink of water. And the woman was there, and He told the woman to give Him a drink. And they got into a conversation. And she went to saying that we will know all things, you know, when the Messiah cometh. And He told her, He said, the one that you talk with here is He. And at first she didn't believe Him. But you know, when He started telling her her life story, then she began to believe. And she ran into the city and she told the people in the city that the Messiah had come. And so they had to come out to see that for themselves. In John chapter 4 and verse 25 and 26, the woman said to Him, I know that Messiah is coming. Cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. And so she went into town, and she went to talking to other people, and they came out to see if what she said was true. And they asked Jesus to hang around a couple of days, because they wanted to hear from Him. And He went into the city, and He stayed around there for a couple of days, and He talked and preached to them. And you know, they began to believe. because they heard the truth. In verse 42 of that same chapter, the people went to this woman and they said unto the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." We need a Messiah, don't we? We need a Savior. Why? Because we're sinners. We've sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we didn't have Jesus to believe in, we would have no hope, would we? Jesus gives us that hope of eternal life after this life is over. Number three, we believe in Jesus because the Word of God is true. In John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing was created without the Word." John chapter 1 and verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Who do we read about in the Bible that was made flesh and was the only begotten of the Father, that was full of grace and truth? It was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus was the Word that was with God in the beginning. He helped God create this world. He helped Him create you and I and everything that's in the world. In John chapter 17, verse 17, when Jesus was praying to God for His disciples, He said, "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth." Who was the Word? Jesus was the Word that was made flesh. He was truth. When He spoke the truth. Jesus saith unto him in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I don't know about you, but I believe in the living God. And I believe that His Word is true. I believe He and His Word are the Creator of all things. And when I think of the complexity of this world, the complexity of this human body, I just can't believe any other way. And because I believe that way, I believe all the Bible, not just parts of it. I believe all of it's true. I believe it's the truth. The alternative is just crazy. I believe that Jesus is that Word of God that was made flesh and lived on this earth and died on the cross and was resurrected from the dead. And that's where our hope lies. Another reason that we might believe in Jesus is because of the miracles that He did. This first reading, John chapter 8, verse 43 and verse 45, you read it and you say, well, that don't have anything to do with miracles. It's kind of a connection between the last thing, that the Word of God is true, and miracles. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees here, and they were being stiff-necked, non-believers, being unbelieving. And he says, "Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, and for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." You know, that whole chapter, chapter 8, was Jesus talking to the Pharisees. And he told them all these truths. And they argued with him. The whole time. They just never would give in to the truth. And he told them, "The reason you don't hear my words is because you are of your father, the devil." They tried to say, "Well, we don't have any other father but God." And he told them, he said, "If you were God's children, if he was your father, you would hear what I'm telling you, because I'm of the Father." Did you know there's a connection between the truth and miracles? Miracles were done for a certain reason. And we'll show that in a minute. First of all, let's look at a miracle. John chapter 4, verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. That was his first miracle, making the water wine at a marriage feast. "And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And he said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house." I can understand that, can't you? Why he would believe in Jesus? Because Jesus had just healed his son just by word. He just spoke the word, "Thy son is healed. Your son is living." And he knew the exact time when that happened. And it made a believer out of him. And that was why miracles were done. So that people could believe on Jesus. John chapter 20, verse 30 to 31. The Bible says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life through his name." If you believe that all the Word of God is true, you must believe the miracles that Jesus did. If you just read about the miracles and you didn't believe, would you be a believer that Jesus did those things? Probably not. But if you believe that the Word of God is true, you're going to believe that everything we find written in that Word is true. You can't pick and choose what you want to believe is true. You have to believe it's all true. We've got to believe that about the casting out of devils, the walking on the water, the healing of the lame and the blind, and especially the raising of the dead. Can you do that? Can you believe these things? I can. Because I believe in Jesus. I believe He's the Son of God. You might believe in Jesus because you must believe to be saved. I could think of no better reason to believe in Jesus. Because we must believe to be saved. Belief in the Son of God is where salvation begins. And our salvation, it hinges on our belief that Jesus is the Son of God and that God raised Him from the dead. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Remember I told you about John chapter 8 a while ago. That whole chapter Jesus was talking with the Pharisees. And they didn't believe Him. But John 8 and verse 24, Jesus told them, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Do you think some of them are believers now? I bet they are. Because they probably died in their sins because they didn't believe that He was the Christ. Mark 16, verse 15 to 16. And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Again, John chapter 3 and verse 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Again in John chapter 3 verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Do you see all the warnings here? What it amounts to if you don't believe in Jesus, that He's the Son of God, is eternal damnation. That's what awaits the non-believer. So why should you believe in Jesus? Because it was God's love for us that gave us the sacrifice of Jesus. John 3:16, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's probably the verse that more people know out of the Bible than any other scripture. And it's the truth. That's why I believe in it, Jesus, because it's the truth. First John chapter 4, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Again, Romans 5, verse 8 and 9. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. You know, I used to think that it would be a lot easier to believe in Jesus if I could have lived during His time. You know, be around Him. Talk with Him. Listen to Him talk. Rub shoulders with Him. Be a friend with Him. But such is not the case. If you look back in the lives of people then, people that were around Him all the time, you see a lot of spiritual conflict in them. Even in His closest followers. One of them sold Him out for 30 pieces of silver. This was one of His 12 disciples that walked with Him for 2 years. Another one, Peter by name, denied Him 3 times. And you know, I don't think any of them really believed He would rise from the dead. When Jesus died on the cross, I think they thought all hope was gone, that it was all lost, even though He told them that He would be resurrected from the dead. There was a bit of doubt in their minds until He appeared to them inside of closed doors. And He spoke to them. Well, you know, there was one of His disciples that wasn't there at that time, a man named Thomas. And Thomas told the other disciples, he said, I won't believe unless I see the print of the nails, and I put my fingers in those print of the nails, and I thrust my hand in His side. I will not believe. He was adamant about it. Well, you know, a little later, the disciples were gathered together again, and Jesus appeared to them again. And Thomas was there, so Jesus looked right at Thomas, and He said, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Can you imagine what Thomas thought? He was shocked. And Thomas answered and said unto Him, my Lord and my God. What did Jesus say back to him? Jesus said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. It would have been tough, wouldn't it? Even to live around Jesus, just to walk with Him in those days. It was tough for the Samaritan woman at the well to believe that He was the Messiah. It was hard for Saul on the road to Damascus. But he overcame that, didn't he? John 12, verse 44 to 50. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." For Jesus, it was all about obeying his Father. And because of his obedience to his Father, he became the author of eternal salvation to everyone that would obey him. And to all that would believe and obey, he made a place of reward for them. John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's where we want to be, isn't it? How do we get there? By believing in Jesus. By being obedient to his will.